Lord, we thank you so much for everything. Lord, and as we're gathered in the name of Jesus, that we can even gather is a huge thank you, Lord. That we can share in your word. That we can feast at your feet. That we can honor you. Praise you, glorify you. It's with utmost thanksgiving unto you for your word, your loving kindness, your grace, and your mercy. Let it be that which works in us to your glory and your glory alone. Amen. Amen. Glad to be with you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Please stand as we recite the Shema and read the word of the Lord together this morning. The Shema. Shema Israel. Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hata Adonai Eloheka, Veyakol Levachka, Uveyakol Neshevka, Uveyakol Modeka, Veyahavta Racha Kamoka, Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Well, in our continued reading of the scripture together as a fellowship, we come to 1 Kings chapter 1 this morning. Please open in your Bibles to it. 1 Kings chapter 1. Now King David was old, advanced in age, and they covered him with cloths, but he could not keep warm. So his servant said to him, "Let them seek a young virgin for my lord the king, and let her attend the king and become his nurse, and let her lie in your bosom, that my lord the king may keep warm." So they searched for a beautiful throughout all the territory of Israel, and found Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the girl was very beautiful, and she became the king's nurse and served him. But the king did not cohabit with her. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." So he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen with 50 men to run before him. And his father had never crossed him at any time by asking, "Why have you done so?" And he was also a very handsome man, and he was born after Absalom. And he had conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and followed Adonijah. And following Adonijah, they helped him. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and the mighty men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fatlings by the stone of Zoheleth, which is beside Engirol. And he invited all his brothers, the king's son, all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the mighty man, and Solomon his brother. Then Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Have you not heard that Adonijah the son of Haggith has become king, and David our Lord does not know it? So now, come, please let me give you counsel and save your life and the life of your son Solomon. Go at once to King David and say to him, have you not, my lord, O king, sworn to your maidservant, saying, surely Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then, as I should become king, behold, while you are still there speaking with the king, I will come in after you and confirm your words. So Bathsheba went into the king in the bedroom. Now the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was ministering to the king. Then Bathsheba bowed and prostrated herself before the king, and the king said, what do you wish? And she said to him, my lord, you swore to your maidservant by the Lord God, saying, surely your son Solomon shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne. And now, behold, Adonijah is king, and now, my lord the king, you do not know it. And he has sacrificed oxen and fatlings and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the commander of the army, but he has not invited Solomon your servant. And as for you now, my lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you to tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it will come about, as soon as my lord the king sweeps with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon will be considered offenders. And behold, while she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet came in. And they told the king, saying, here is Nathan the prophet. And when he came in after the king, he prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. Then Nathan said, my lord the king, have you said Adonijah shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne? For he has gone down today and has sacrificed and fatlings and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons and the commanders of the army and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they are eating and drinking before him. And they say, long live King Adonijah. But me, even me, your servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and your servant Solomon, he is not invited. Has this thing been done by my lord the king, and you have not shown to your servants who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Then King David answered and said, call Bathsheba to me. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king bowed and said, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress, surely as I bowed to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, your son Solomon shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place, I will indeed do so this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground and prostrated herself before the king. And King Solomon and the king said, May my lord King David forever. Then King David said, call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came into the king's presence. And the king said to them, take with you the servants of your lord, and have my son Solomon ride on my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there as king over Israel, and blow the trumpet and say, long live King Solomon. Then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne and be king in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, amen. Thus may the Lord, the God of my lord the king, say, as the Lord has been with my lord the king, so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the Sherethites and the Pelethites went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. Zadok the priest then took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, long live King Solomon. And all the people went up after him, and the people were playing on flutes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth shook at their noise. Now Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished eating. When Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, why is the city making such an uproar? While he was still speaking, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, came. Then Adonijah said, come in, for you are a valiant man, and bring good news. But Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, no, our Lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has also sent him with Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Sherethites and the Pelethites, and they have made him ride on the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon, and they have come up from there rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise which you have heard. Besides, Solomon has even taken his seat on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, may your God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and his throne greater than your throne. And the king bowed himself on the bed. The king has also said thus, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has granted one to sit on my throne today while my own eyes see it. Then all the guests of Adonijah were terrified, and they arose, and each went on his way. Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, and he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. Now it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon, for behold, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. And Solomon said, if he will be a worthy man, not one of his hairs will fall to the ground, but if wickedness is found in him, he will die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and prostrated himself before King Solomon. And Solomon said to him, go to your house. Thank you, Lord, for your word and your spirit, making it very much the course of our walk on this earth together. Amen. Please be seated. 1 Kings 1:48. The king has also said thus, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has granted one to sit on my throne today while my own eyes see it. Once again, we are at the place in our reading wherein we're encouraged to bless the Lord. This is something that we dare never just pass over without any thought of doing so in our minds. It is often easy to read the scriptures without that sense of the awe of God that fills its every page. Too frequently, we are in a hurry to read the entire Bible in a year or less. At other times, we're looking for that which would meet our need of the moment, be that encouragement, instruction, comfort, or even correction of our ways or thoughts or beliefs. We are in a hurry to get to some predetermined assistant at the time of our reading. And please understand, each of these reasons are very valid as the Lord makes himself meet the every need, the specific time of that searching and seeking from his word. He does all of those things, plus so much more than we could ever realize as the Holy Spirit makes the Word of God very much real and alive within our hearts and our spirits. Still, we dare not just skip over the reading which instructs us to bless the Lord every time it is before us in his word. That would be a mistake of paramount proportion in the terms of how we are to respond to that which he sets before us. It is too easy to just skim over these passages with the thought of that, oh yeah, here are these words again. We do so at the great risk of missing one of the fundamental realities of why God gave us his word. To bless God is one of the core elements of our being created in the first place. We are here to express to the whole of creation the fact that Jehovah is exactly who He says He is, and He does precisely everything that He says He will do. He is the Creator of all things, and He is sovereign over the entirety of His creation. Everything flows and works together only according to the manner in which it was designed to function by Him. He holds the entire universe together with the awesome power of His hands and His will. For this, and for so very much more, He is to be constantly and eternally blessed. He deserves all honor and praise and adoration always. As His people, as members of His family in Jesus Christ, that is the witness that we have on this earth. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the one who has opened the way of salvation through the death and resurrection of His only begotten Son. He indwells us with His own Holy Spirit to guide and to direct the paths of our feet as we sojourn before Him in our walk on this earth. What we need to realize and express is that it is all about Him and not about us. Accordingly, as we come to a passage such as the one before us, we should never hesitate or miss the opportunity to express that praise and that witness of His so great power in action. We should also revel in the every opportunity to bring before Jehovah our greatest expressions of worship and adoration and thanksgiving for the wondrous working might of His hand in operation. Then, with all our souls and minds, we should follow that sense of looking back at the manner in which the blessing of God has been manifested, both in Scripture and in our lives. This is always with the focus on Him and His marvelous and miraculous essence of everlasting love. Please turn back in your Bibles to one of the first accounts of the blessing that was offered to God as detailed in Genesis 14, 18 through 20. This was at the time that the king of Salem, Melchizedek, that ancient type of Christ, greeted Abram after he had rescued Lot and his family. This was from those four kings who had attacked and defeated the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. The victors had looted those cities and taken Lot and his family as prisoners. Abram went after them with all the men of his household. This resulted in a victorious battle in which he rescued his nephew. Abram was met on his triumphant return by this Melchizedek. Genesis 14, 18 through 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tenth of all. The key focus was that God had gone before Abram, and that Jehovah, God Most High, deserved the blessing and the praise for his hand of the redemption of Lot and his people. That is why Abram gave the tithe to this priest of God, to honor and to bless the Lord with thanksgiving and adoration and praise. We always need to see the hand of God working as we obey his direction in our lives. There needs to be that witness that he is the one who causes all things to work together for good in our lives, as we're told in the book of Hebrews. We must never try to take the credit and put ourselves on some type of pedestal above the Lord God Almighty. We must always and forever proclaim his majestic power and his sovereignty as the focal reality of everything that concerns our lives. Next, please turn to 1 Chronicles 29:10-13. This recounts the point at which the people of God had worked together to bring the necessary materials that would be used to construct the temple, the earthly dwelling place of the Lord God Almighty. It was a concerted effort put forth by that people to bless Jehovah. They showed the willingness to sacrifice earthly possessions and goods for the sake of his honor and his majesty. They knew that Yahweh could not be contained in any structure. However, this temple would provide a location where they could gather together in his presence. Here they would be able to offer their sacrifices and their worship and put forth their prayers, their offerings, and their petitions. This meant everything to them. Therefore, led by King David, they did what they could to the very best of their abilities to provide all that was needed to so bless the Lord. David set the tone of that worship and blessing with the following declaration. 1 Chronicles 29:10-13. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, Blessed art thou, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in heavens and the earth, thine is the dominion, O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou dost rule over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Then, after this great declaration by David, he then included the rest of the gathered people, encouraging them to so honor and be a blessing to Jehovah. This is recounted in 1 Chronicles 29:20. This was not just a time when the people were told about the working might and majesty of Yahweh. They were invited to participate by joining in the celebration of adoration and joy in the sacrifice of being a living blessing to the Creator of heaven and earth. the altogether awesome and majestic one. 1 Chronicles 29:20. Then David said to all the assembly, "Now bless the Lord your God." And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed low and did homage to the Lord and to the king. We can then move forward in Scripture to another time when the people, the remnant from the exile, were gathered together to put themselves before Jehovah with their obedient and reverent desire that he be blessed. Their hearts and their actions indicated that they wanted to be pleasing in the sight of God. They desired to make known the fact that as he was holy, they were to be holy. This was after so very much had been forgotten about what God required from his people in his word. Please turn to the book of Nehemiah, and we will read together chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. This details how the heart of those people had completely turned away from their sinful ways. They sought to once again be refreshment to the Lord in the course of how they lived before him on this earth. Nehemiah 9, 1 through 6. Now on the 24th day of this month, the sons of Israel assembled with fasting and sackcloth and with dirt upon them. And the descendants of Israel separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. While they stood in their place, they read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a fourth of the day, and for another fourth they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Now on the Levites' platform stood Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shabani, Buni, Sherebani, and Shanani. And they cried with a loud voice to the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabaniah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shabaniah, and Pethanah, said, "Arise, bless the Lord your God forever and ever. O may thy glorious name be blessed and exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou alone art the Lord. Thou hast made the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. Thou dost give life to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before thee." This is the voice of a people who truly desired that there be a difference in the manner in which they lived their lives before God in order to please and to honor him. They wanted Jehovah to receive the blessing of a people who were dedicated and consecrated wholly unto him and to his word, as the means by which they would be a witness of his holiness. There was that agreement with God, that confession of what they had done and thought so wrongly and so against his precepts and his ordinances. As well, it was not just confessing with their mouth, but proceeding forth with those necessary changes in the manner of their walk on this earth. They put into practice that which would bring them into alignment with his law as the delight of their meditations and of their behavior. This was present in the heart of the psalmist as the necessary means which to bring praise and adoration and blessing to Jehovah. Returning to the heart of David with which we started this morning's consideration, please consider one of the many Psalms of David, Psalm 34, 1 through 8. This is a song that we used to sing so very often and which should continue to ring forth in our praises of the Most High. Psalm 34, 1 through 8, a psalm of David when he feigned madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him, and were radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. This is the chorus of encouragement to all the people of Jehovah by David. There is that heart after God that is evident in the manner in which the full focus is that the Lord receives the manifested praise and adoration of those who are his own. It should be evidenced in the way that we live our lives and as we proclaim with joy and with thanksgiving and with awe the splendor and the majesty of Jehovah as we exalt him as God and Lord and Savior. This is the heart that blesses and that magnifies Yahweh in the greatness of his omnipotence and his omnipresence and his omniscience. This continues for us throughout the Psalms. Consider the brief but all-encompassing encouragement that is declared in Psalm 41, 12 and 13. Psalm 41, 12 and 13. As for me, thou dost uphold me in my integrity, and thou dost set me in thy presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. This is the concise reality of the work that God has accomplished for all those whom he has chosen and who will respond to his awesome gift of love in Jesus, the only begotten of the Father. He sets us into his presence for all of eternity. In this simple phrase, we have the essence of why we were ever created by the Lord God Almighty. He desired to have an eternal relationship of love with us. He created us for this specific and amazing reason by which we would show forth the glory of his incomparable and unending heart of agape throughout the eternal ages to come. For that, he is endlessly and wholeheartedly praised by those whom he has redeemed and set into his presence today and always. We will continue, Lord willing, next time with this wondrous call of the people of God to bring before Him all blessing and praise and honor and adoration and thanksgiving in our worship of who He is and all that He has done. This is in order that He receives the blessing and the dedication and the consecrated adulation that He alone is due. So be it. The King has also said thus, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has granted one to sit on my throne today while my own eyes see it." Amen. Amen.